Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and every day. We say, be thou glorified in Jesus' name. We thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you are set to do. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Even as we go in your word tonight, we ask that you reveal yourself to us in your word, in the name of Jesus. We ask today, in the name of Jesus, that you manifest yourself to us in your word, in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Good evening, brethren. Welcome to the Spirituality of Thought series. This is the second teaching in this series. By the grace of God, we're trusting God that we'll be able to, you know, cover enough ground today and talk about four extensive things that are important in our understanding of spirituality of thoughts. Hallelujah. Now today we're going to talk about how belief systems are formed. We're going to talk about how thoughts are used. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about how darkness influences the thoughts of men. And we're going to talk about how the mind of man is renewed. Now, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. This is one of our anchor scriptures in the beginning of the this meeting. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, Apostle John was praying for the saints. And he said, "Beloved, I pray for you that thou mayest prosper, even as your soul prospers." Beloved, I pray for you that thou mayest prosper, even as your soul prospers. Now, he went as far as saying two things. He says, "I pray for you that you may prosper, one, and that you may be in good health, two, even as your soul prospers." Now, Apostle John tied the experience of health. Hallelujah. He tied the experience of good health and the prosperity of a man to the prosperity of a soul. Oh, let me rephrase that. Actually, Apostle John said that beloved, that is, a man that is being redeemed, because it is only the redeemed of God that are referred to as beloved. Hallelujah. It is only the redeemed of God that are referred to as the beloved. And the Bible, Apostle John said, the Holy Spirit, Apostle John said, hallelujah, that beloved, that is the redeemed of God now, "I wish above all things that you may prosper." You see, you may prosper. He didn't say you shall prosper. May, condition. Why? Because the condition is that even as thy soul prospers, you may prosper and be in good health. Now, one of the statements we made last week, one of the closing statements we made last week, is that the soul of a man, as far as manifestation in the realm of the man, as far as manifestation in this realm, in the realm of physical things, in the physical realm, as far as manifestation in the physical realm is concerned, yes, the soul of a man is the most important. See, there are possibilities for you in the spirit, spiritually speaking. Hallelujah. There are possibilities that abound for you, spiritually speaking. But until something happens to your soul, these possibilities will not transcend into results. Hallelujah. These possibilities will not transcend into results. It won't just bring forth results. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, why is the renewing of your mind important? Hallelujah. Why is the renewing of your mind important? Because when the mind of a man is not renewed, hallelujah, his experience will be determined by the knowledge that exists in his mind. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let us start from this manner. Hallelujah. Let us start from here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17b. It says, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Hallelujah. "Now the just shall live by faith." If any man draws back from living by faith, Bible says that my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now look at this. Very interesting now. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness thereof." He says, "Every other thing shall be added." The kingdom and the righteousness. Then the combination of these two will lead to you having every other thing added to you. Now, if you have the kingdom and you don't have his righteousness, then you shall not have every other thing added unto you. I think that's clear enough. Now look at this. The Bible now says the righteousness of God, okay, is revealed. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm trying to, you know, change the scriptures for you to see something. The Bible says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness is revealed as the just lives by faith. So faith is the medium of the revelation of the righteousness of God. I was going to now. Now, faith itself as a goal. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul." Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So the reason you are commanded to live by faith is so that your soul may be saved. Hallelujah. The question is, if your soul is going to be saved, I would get it now, what will he be saved from? If the salvation of your soul is the reason you have to live by faith, if the salvation of your soul, I would get it now, is the reason you have to live by faith, how exactly or what exactly does your soul need saving from? Now, if you do not understand what your soul needs saving from, I will tell you now, you will not understand the importance of the soul of a man. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for us to understand what our soul needs saving from. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 5. Now the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh," hallelujah, "for though we walk in the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, We do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, since they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the question is, what are strongholds? What exactly is a stronghold? The Bible says we cast down arguments. We bring down the strongholds by casting down arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So, what does your soul need saving from? Your soul needs saving from strongholds. Your soul needs saving from strongholds. And these strongholds are simply belief systems that are now empowered by demonic forces. I repeat, these strongholds are belief systems that are now empowered by demonic forces. So, how do these belief systems get there? How are belief systems formed? Remember, we have said that man is a spirit. He has a body. I mean, he lives in a body and he has a soul. And the soul of the man has three important areas. We have the belief system, we have the willpower, and we have the seat of the emotions of man. And we have said that the belief systems of the man determines the willpower and determines the emotional response of the man to situations. Are we together now, brethren? Now, how do the belief systems get there? How are belief systems formed? Now, belief systems are learned. Contrary to what many people think, a belief system is learned. I repeat, a belief system is learned. Basically, hallelujah, everything that happens to a man and everything that will happen to man and everything that is happening to man are recorded in the mind of a man in the form of impressions. In the form of impressions. Hallelujah. Everything that has happened to man and everything that will happen to man and everything that man will do are recorded first and foremost in the form of impressions. Now, impressions form thoughts. In fact, impressions are, how do you put it now? They are, I'm looking for the perfect word to use. It is like a unit of thoughts that comes into the mind and brings out thoughts. So impressions are like inputs while thoughts are their outputs. Yes, that's the word. So whether you are learning something consciously or unconsciously, the major thing, the information you are taking in, leaves an impression on your mind. So while you may not remember the entire circumstances as it is, what you remember are the impressions from that situation. Are we together now? Now, these impressions are stored chronologically in your mind, like a library. So all impressions that has to do with finances, for example, are stored in a particular segment. All impressions that has to do with, you know, growth are stored in a particular segment. All impressions that has to do with God are stored in a particular segment. Now, these impressions over time begin to form what you know as the belief systems of a man. They begin first and foremost to form the knowledge base of the man. Yes, let's start from there. They form first and foremost the knowledge base of the man. Now, when the knowledge base of a man is formed, it begins to process his thoughts. The thought of a man comes from the knowledge base of the man. Basically. Don't forget this. Impressions are important. Impressions are what your mind records. So your mind cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is imagined. because it breaks all of them down into impressions. So when these impressions are stored, I will get it now. It serves as first and foremost the knowledge base. Now, the thoughts of the man are formed through the knowledge base of the man. Now, when the thoughts of the man are formed, when a thought is formed and is eventually carried out, I will get it now. The resultant effect of the action of that thought is registered in the mind again as an impression that adds to the knowledge base of the man. So when the resultant effect of the action, I will together now, when the resultant effect of the action that adds to the knowledge base of the man is positive with the current knowledge base of the man, it begins to form as a belief system. Let's take practical examples. Suppose that you have just learned, for example, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, Philippians 4, 1, 9, that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, listen to this. You have had different kind of teachings about finances in the past. They are registered in your minds as impressions, and they have formed a belief system in your mind as an impression. We're just saying, let's say you have not been taught anything else. You have not seen anything else. The only thing you have seen and you have been taught about finances is Philippians 4:19. Now, when Philippians 4:19, you assimilate an entire teaching on that scripture, it becomes a part of you. I want to get it now. Now, it is registered in your mind as an impression and forms the knowledge base that you have. You know Philippians 4:19. You can quote Philippians 4:19. In fact, you know everything about Philippians 4:19. I want to get it now. It begins to form your thoughts about finances. So, as it forms your thoughts about finances, you begin to take actions according to these thoughts. Now, this is what happens. When you now take actions according to these thoughts, I want to get it now. And the resultant effect, the product of the action you took, is not positive, such that you believe that your Father shall supply all of your needs according to your riches in glory. I was going to now. I mean, that is the thought. And so you decided to take on a project, and the finances does not come. What will happen is that your mind will register that knowledge base. I was going to now as ineffective. So the impression that goes back to your mind, hallelujah, is that the knowledge base you have is not exactly correct. And if you are not careful, what your mind will bring up again as current and recent and updated mentality about finances is your old belief system about it. Forgetting Philippians 4:19. This is why people can hear entire teachings and be enlightened. Hallelujah. They can hear entire teachings and be enlightened, but because when they do not practice with wisdom and the word itself has not entered into their spirit, I will tell you now, their eyes of understanding about it has not been enlightened. Though they may know these things, but their eyes of understanding is not open. Though they may know them, their eyes of understanding is not open. So when this happens and they try to practice what they have been taught and it does not happen, their minds flags it as a failure and they go back to the default system. We're talking about how belief systems are formed. So the beliefs that you have about every area of your life is formed over a long period of trial and error. Trial, error, trial, success, trial, error, trial, success, trial, error, trial. And everything is stored in the form of impression. So if it took you 20, 25, 30 years, how long you have been existing to learn certain belief systems about certain areas of your life, receiving the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior will not automatically wipe away these belief systems. No. You learn them consciously and unconsciously. No experience is a waste. No experience is a waste. You know, Jesus was saying something. He said that if a man heareth the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, I will get it now. What does not make a man understand the word of the kingdom? The first hindrance is the belief system he has that is contrary to the words of kingdom The second hindrance is that the eyes of his understanding has not been opened. Now, when these two happens, are we together now? The Bible says that the devil will come and steal it away from him. Kai. Belief systems. So, a thought does not just, I mean, an impression does not become a belief system in one day. It starts from being a knowledge base. It starts from being a body of information that is capable of creating thoughts. It starts from being a body of information that is capable of creating thoughts. It starts from being a body of information that is capable of creating thoughts. And so when these thoughts are created, and these thoughts produce positive inputs, all together now, it begins to form into belief systems. This is the same way your mind is going to be renewed. I don't want to be ahead of myself. So thoughts basically are conveyors of the impressions of your mind. So as powerful as the mind of a man is, please make no mistake, imaginations come from the minds of a man, just like imaginations come from the mind of God. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heart was without form and void. Hallelujah. And, you know, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. You know, I find something very interesting there. The Bible says, after God said, let there be light, the Bible says, and God just looked upon the light, and God saw that the light was good. God saw that the light was good because he already had an imagination about the light. He knew what light would look like. So when the light came forth, it met his expectations. Are we together now? So the minds of man also imagines things. And so when the things that you imagine comes to life, you are not surprised. I mean, honest with you, you are not surprised. It looks beautiful. It confirms the power of your mind. Even God himself attested to the power of the mind in Genesis chapter 11. He said that, behold, these people are one. I think Genesis 11 or Genesis 8. He says, behold, these people are one. And this that they begin to do, I will get it now, talking about the children of men when they were building Babylon. He said, this that they began to do, nothing shall be withheld from them, which they had imagined to do. Hallelujah. Learn this. Imaginations are medium of creating realities. First and foremost, imaginations are mediums of creating realities. The truth is that before any reality can exist in the physical realm, it must first and foremost have existed somewhere. Before any result can exist in the physical realm, it first and foremost must exist somewhere. This is what the Bible says in, I think, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 9. The eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I will get it now. I have not seen, nor hear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of men. Look at this. I have not seen means it has not happened physically. Ears have not heard means they have not heard about it. Now, he says, nor have it entered into the heart of men. It is a pattern. The foundation is that it first and foremost must be imagined. If it is not imagined, I would go now. Then ears can't hear about it. If ears can't hear about it, eyes can't see it. So the same way when you want to execute something and you want to execute it with a team, you first create the imagination in your mind. Then you tell this, you describe this imagination to the people that want to do it with you. They hear about it so that they have the same imagination in their mind. Are we together now? And what will happen is that you begin to act it out, the reality will be created. I'm showing you how thoughts are used. So imaginations are, you know, they are like molding blocks for realities. as a language. Imaginations, they are molding blocks for realities. So a man cannot experience beyond the things that he has imagined to experience. This is why Apostle Paul told us, that whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any good thing, think on these things so that they can create an imagination of the plan and the divine will of God in your life, that you may be able to experience them. Are we together now? Imaginations. They are molding blocks for realities. You know, many times I like to tell people this. Why do we think God usually sends his word to people that he has ordained and chosen to do certain things for him? He's sending his word to them that they may be able to receive what he has given. So these words that he has sent to them create an imagination in their mind. Until this imagination is there, they are not in a position to receive. Hallelujah. So until the word of God begins to create imaginations for you, hallelujah, until your imaginations, I'm being honest with you, not just thoughts, your imaginations begin to align with the word of God, are we together now? You may not experience it. Now, since imaginations itself are molding blocks for realities, I would get it now. Imaginations are conveyed in the form of thoughts. So if you think about it, you realize that an imagination is a more, it carries a more deeper frequency than just a thought or an idea. An imagination requires, you know, attention to detail. An imagination requires creating as if it is happening. It leaves a greater impression. Yet, imaginations itself are thoughts. So what does imagination do? Imagination creates realities for your body to execute. Let's not forget that we have said that the body is a medium of execution. So that's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because what he has thought in his heart is what his body will execute. Forget who he is in the spirit. This is why men of God can, I'm being honest with you, man of God, born of God, born of his word, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit, can misbehave. Because the imaginations of his heart that brought forth the action he's taking is not aligning with the will of God. I was going to now, brethren. So thoughts are powerful things, because thoughts create realities. They create realities. So, thoughts are used, first and foremost, to create the belief systems that a man has. Now, when these belief systems are created, I was going to now, they now determine the kind of thoughts that the man has. I was going to now. Now, when the type of thoughts that the man has are determined, these thoughts end up creating the imagination of the life that the man can live. So, the extent of a man's imagination, I was going to now, is the extent of the quality of his life. I was together now. This is what the Bible says, that we cast down imaginations. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of all strongholds. Thereby we cast down arguments and imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So what does the knowledge of God does to a person essentially? The knowledge of God brings down in the life of a man. Are we together now? First and foremost, the knowledge base that you have that is contrary to the word of God. So the word of God does not start by casting down imaginations. No, it starts first and foremost by changing the knowledge base that you have. And so when the spirit of understanding is upon you, and there is an understanding of the knowledge of God, are we together, brethren? What happens is that the belief systems in your mind begins to take a dent. And so when this belief system begins to take a dent, are we together now? Then the imaginations will begin to fall. When the imaginations begin to fall, the stronghold is broken. It takes a process. I like to tell people this, that spiritual warfare is actually renewal of mind. That you don't have time to study the word of God. Are we together now? And that you don't have time to meditate on God's word. It means that you are losing the spiritual warfare. People don't realize that that's spiritual warfare. It is not until you are attacked in the dream. It is not until you are attacked in the real life. It is not until all of those things happen. You see, all of those things are products of imaginations. Even the devil himself has to imagine a way to deal with you, Are we together now? Thoughts, they're powerful. So if a man can master his own thoughts, hallelujah, he can master his own life. If you can master the things that you're thinking about, thoughts are so powerful that it does not just flow into your willpower, it also flows into your emotions. If you begin to think about something that is happy, if you begin to think about an happy event, I want to get it now, you begin to feel happy. You begin to feel about an event that's sad, you begin to feel sad. So your emotions is dependent upon the thoughts that you carry. Hello? So the quality of your thoughts, listen to me now, the quality of your thoughts is essentially the quality of your emotional stability and also the quality of your willpower. So a man with a strong willpower, hear me, is a man with a strong belief system in that thing which is set to do. So when you find a man of faith with a strong willpower for the things of God, listen to me, that man has a very strong faith, because we can't call it belief now. We can't call it a belief system. It is faith in God. So faith in God, listen to me, brethren, faith in God is simply a mindset now, a belief system that is filled with the knowledge and capabilities of God. So we say that that man has faith in God. So you have faith in God because your belief system is filled with the knowledge of God, such that the thoughts that come from your mind are anointed, such that your mind itself is anointed. This is why the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing the word of God, the continual hearing of the word of God. Faith cometh. The same way, unbelief cometh. Faith also cometh. So a quick litmus test of whether a man has faith or not is for him to check his thoughts. Thoughts are just not just powerful things, they are also revealer of the state of a man. They are also the revealer of the state of the mind of a man regarding certain things. So a man that is thinking about immorality, so to say, will eventually act immorally. Now, when this man acts immorally, are we together now? See, because we like to think that everything is about the influence of the devil. Yes, I agree. The devil does influence the mind of men. I agree. We'll talk about that any day tonight. I agree totally that the devil does influence the minds of men often than we think. But the truth is this, that the quality of that thought is what will determine what the man will act out. So when a man thinks immorally, if he's not careful, he's likely going to act immorally. When the mind of a man is not renewed regarding covetousness, regarding lack, regarding health, if he's not careful, it is going to happen to him. You know, I was telling one of my students earlier today that, glory be to God, I am a teacher of economics and I'm also a teacher of the abundant life. And she asked me that, sir, how can you manage to combine the both since they are complete opposites? Economics is based upon scarcity, and the abundant life in Christ Jesus is based on abundance. Now look at it. How do I manage to teach both? I told the sister, I told the young sister, I said, young lady, the truth is this, I believe in one, I know the other. Hello? One is my belief system. The other I know just to teach. So while I teach economics a lot, I have a good understanding of economics. Trust me, I do not believe any single principle in it. Not a single principle. Especially the single principles that relate up to scarcity. There are a few principles, just one, two, or three, you know, that relates also to the kingdom of God, but then no. Everything is from the kingdom of God. Because if you are not careful, I would get it now. The rules, the ideologies, the principles of your profession, I would get it now, can be the hindrance to the manifestation of God in your life. Because you believe so much in this thing that you were taught in, that you are finding it difficult to believe God's word. And until God's word replaces these things, you won't experience what he has said. Hallelujah. So how does the devil influence the mind of the believer? How does the devil influence the mind of the believer? Very important. Now, first and foremost, we must realize that if the mind of man takes information in the form of impressions, the only way that it can be influenced is also by impressions. Hallelujah. If the mind of a man processes information by impressions, it also means that the only way that information can enter into the minds of man, even from the devil himself, is also by impressions. It is impressed upon. How? Through whispers. First and foremost, the three major ways that the devil influences the minds of men. One is through whispers. Through whispers. Two, practically, is through imagery. 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 Are we together now? One, whispers. Two, imagery. Are we together now? Three, conscious indoctrination. Or let's say false indoctrination. False indoctrination. Are we together now? So we're going to take them one by one. But primarily, these three are handled by a single spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and from verse 2. Let me read from my end. Ephesians 2 and 2. Just give me a moment, please. Aha, we're there. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 2. It says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. Look at this. It says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient. There is a spirit that is at work in the life of anyone. I was going now. In the belief systems that is enforcing the belief systems, there is a spirit whose primary assignment is to enforce belief systems that are contrary to the knowledge of God. The prince of the power of the air. It is his primary responsibility. And one of the first ways he does this is by whispering. That is, the devil himself whispers. I mean, so how does whispering happen? Okay, it lives upon an impression in your mind. An impression that is consistent with the belief that you have. That is what is called an inspiration. Even the Holy Spirit can do this sometimes. I was going to now. This can also be gotten from the Word of God sometimes. An impression comes from a spirit speaking to you. I need also to understand that it's not only Satan that talks. I was going to now. The prince of the power of the air can do the same thing. Even evil spirits, demons, can literally fasten themselves to the body of believers and continually whisper to them. This whispering comes like small voices. I was going to now. Sometimes loud voices, very loud voices. Very loud voices. But eventually they come as impressions that cannot be ignored. They are impressions that cannot be ignored because they align with existing belief systems that are contrary to God's word in your life. And if the believer is not careful and the believer takes these steps, I would get it now, the believer falls into the trap. Now, the truth is this, Satan will continue to whisper. This is the first primary way that the kingdom of darkness influences the minds of men, by whispering ideas, by whispering thoughts, by whispering perceptions, by getting them to see things in a way that they want them to see it. They do this a lot. Now, the second way is by imagery. Hallelujah. By imagery. The things that you see, hallelujah, whether by movies you watch, I would say that, whether by realities that you are seeing as you're going out, leaves an impression in your mind. No matter how holy that you are, it takes a man that is strong in faith and the grace of God, okay, to be in a perverse and immoral generation and not be perverse and immoral. I'm being honest with you. It requires the special grace, I'm being honest with you, the special grace of God to practically leave your house, and before you get to the next street, you have seen people of the opposite gender dress, not just shabbily, reveal half of their body walking on the street. Imagery. It leaves an impression in your mind, and if care is not taken, these impressions can form thoughts. Are we together now? It starts from the impression to the thought, and then before you know what's going on, the man of God has committed immoral acts. Imagery. Sometimes when I'm seeing a movie, I pause myself and say, no, this can never be acceptable. It is not acceptable. It can never be. You don't understand what I'm saying? I do this a lot. Because if I don't shout out at that level, the image I am seeing, sometimes I abandon the movie entirely, sometimes. The image I am seeing is creating an impression. If it is not attacked immediately, it is there, waiting until the day it can form a thought. Hallelujah. Imagery, very powerful, I tell you. The impressions that you get from the images that you see, are we together now? It's far powerful than you think. They last longer than the impression you get from the things you hear. So we have a generation that is continually becoming perverse, that is continually becoming immoral because of the images that they see. Check everywhere. The images that they see, the sounds that they hear. The sounds and the images. Let me add sounds to it. The sounds that they hear, listen to me, the kind of music you listen to. Listen, let me tell you something. Some kinds of music are proclamations in the kingdom of darkness of an immoral behavior that is to begin, that is to become enhanced. Hello? There are some songs that from the moment you can trace some particular trend of immoral behavior to the time that a song was released. You can literally trace it. The announcements. Now, these things may not look all too spiritual. They are very spiritual, I tell you. Sounds and images, very important. So the man of God, the woman of God, needs to be very careful about the images that he's seeing. So how do we cope in this kind of environment? What do? Every day when we see images like that, we're together now, we remind ourselves consciously of God's word. And we change. So when we remind ourselves consciously of God's word in that manner, are we together now? Instead of having some sort of covetousness or admiration for what we are seeing, what we feel out there is pity for these people for being an instrument of the devil. See that drastic change does not happen automatically. It happens through a constant renewing of the mind. Hallelujah, brethren. Sounds. Very important, I tell you. Images. Very important, I tell you. These are the second ways that this is, in fact, this is largely the major way that the devil influences the thoughts of men. It is a very effective and mass way to influence the thoughts of men. Effective and mass. Effective and mass. You know, I remember I was watching a movie, I think, 4 days ago in the classroom, and, you know, they were trying to, you know, present a case where two women, are we together now? We're trying to propose to each other as if it was normal for women to get married. I shouted at that instant, this is not acceptable. I was not talking to anybody, I was talking to myself. I was telling myself, this is not acceptable, not today, not 100 years from now, not 300 years from now. It can never be acceptable. The person beside me was like, so what's going on? I said, you can imagine they're doing a movie and acting as though it is all right for two women to get married. It is not. I am not fighting with anybody. I am protecting my mind from the image it has seen. Only way you can protect your mind, hallelujah, is to kill thoughts. Sometimes you have to murder some thoughts intentionally. The minute you begin to think thoughts that are contrary to God, and you can recognize these things, murder it. Kill it right now, right now. Tell yourself, no, this is not the will of God, it can't happen. If you have to be violent with yourself and shout out, please shout out. It is important. Hallelujah. Sounds, images. So if you can be careful about the kind of songs you listen to, for a long time I've not listened to hip-hop and I've not missed it. Now, I'm a person that couldn't do without music I love music so much, but I've not listened to hip-hop in over 2 years and I've not missed it. There's nothing there to miss. Hallelujah. Sounds, images, consciously be aware of these things. And of course, the last one is indoctrinations, conscious indoctrination. Now, whispering and sound and imagery may not be too conscious. If especially sound and imagery is usually unconscious, I would get now it happens unconsciously. The whisperings and the voices from the kingdom of darkness can be conscious or unconscious, depends. It can happen through the dreams, it can happen through the revelations you see. Yes. Oh, I didn't talk about that part too. Through the dreams and revelations you see, it can be a means of the devil to communicate to you. Yeah. Now, lastly, I'm going to round up there. Lastly, is indoctrinations. There are conscious things that you were taught that is called the wisdom of the world, that is called the principles of certain things, that is called the laws of certain things that are practically against the knowledge of God. Now, these things are taught to raise men to think of the ways of God as practically impossible or foolish. Conscious indoctrinations. In fact, when Jesus was saying, do not be conformed to the world. I mean, when Apostle Paul was speaking to the Roman Christians, rather, in Romans 12 and verse 2 says, and when he said, do not be conformed to this world, he was saying, actually, do not follow the indoctrination of the world. Do not follow the indoctrination of the world. You know, there's this statement that we make a lot in the body of Christ in Nigeria. We say, that is, the world has entered into the church and the church has entered into the world. Do not. You have no business dressing like the world. Hallelujah. You have no business dressing like the world. You have no business judging like the world. You have no business doing things like the world. And we have people in the body of Christ, Monday to Saturday, they dress anyhow they like. They can walk practically naked wherever they want to go to. But when they're coming to church on Sunday, they dress all modest and nice. And they are the ones now trying to condemn people in the world. Who is the joker? Joke's on you. Stop admiring the world. Stop admiring the ways of the world. Stop admiring the ideologies of the world. Experience the transformation that is in Christ by the renewing of your mind. So if a man is going to change his life, it starts from changing his belief systems. Then it comes down to changing his thoughts. Because you can't change your thoughts unless your belief systems are changed. In fact, you can't even recognize that your thoughts are wrong until some knowledge base enters into your system. So teachings like this, what they do is to create a knowledge base for you. I was going now. And when it is understood, it enters into your spirit, basically. So it enters into your spirit and your belief system regarding the issue takes a dent, but it must not stop there. When it takes a dent, it must be acted upon that a reality might confirm the knowledge base you have, so that it begins to form as a belief system itself called faith. So faith takes process to happen. The only kind of faith that is instant is the gift of faith. The gift of faith by the Holy Spirit. Faith, as it is, takes process, takes time. Because it is about the renewal of your mind. And sincerely speaking, there are certain belief systems in your mind that are stronger than the other. I pray for you in the name of Jesus, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, even as you have listened to this teaching talk, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened in the name of Jesus, and you begin to identify thoughts and beliefs of particular areas of your life that are contrary to the will of God, and you may be able to address them in the name of Jesus. God bless you, even as you go for tonight, in the name of Jesus. Good night.